Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, episode number 56, entitled Legendary Life, we chat with legendary fitness trainer and the host of the Legendary Life podcast, Ted Rice. All right, guys, we're live. I'm Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Ted Rice from the Legendary Life podcast, personal trainer and fitness coach. What's up, Ted? What's going on, man?
Good, Justin. Happy to be on this show and drop some knowledge regarding all things health and fitness.
Awesome, man. I'm pumped to have you. I told you before we went on, I've been a big fan of yours for a while. I've been listening to your show for a long time. You've been, how many episodes do you have? Like over 400 or so now?
400? No, not quite, but I appreciate the compliment. No, it's, actually, you know what? You're probably right, because I have like 129 episodes with interviews, and then I have probably another 74 episodes that are just solo episodes that I've done.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah. You do a lot of, just jumping on the mic kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. I found that people actually have responded better to some of my solo episodes than some of my guests. And I'll tell you something, Justin, I probably come across right now as like a really extroverted, like confident man. at least some people say that, but I'm a pretty introverted guy, and I've had to work hard to get out there and put myself out there in this way. And I'll tell you, I didn't want to do those solo episodes, but Giselle told me, listen, you got to get on there. You got to be part of it. So that's how they started.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. So how long have you been doing the personal training for? Almost 20 years now?
17 years.
17 years.
Yes, going on 18 years.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. And really clear for about whatever we're about to cover, whatever topics and rabbit holes we go down with health and fitness, I'm a guy who's learning the internet business stuff. I've been putting food on my table for over 17 years, getting real results for real people right here in Miami Beach, Florida. So
awesome, man. And you've worked with Robert Downey, some of the top guys, Richard Branson, some of the top celebrities in the world. So you obviously know what you're doing and been doing it for a long time, right?
To be honest, the celebrity thing, people love celebrity endorsements, and it definitely says something about me, but it says more about my personality and my ability to work well with people. But I could totally suck and have a good relationship with a celebrity, and they'd be, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to get results. It's hard to get great results with exercise, but it's easy to get results with someone. It's like, well, just do more weight and do more reps and do more exercises, and it's really easy. So yeah, but most of the I've trained all those people, and they're awesome, and I'm very grateful. Most of my clients now are the CEOs of multi-million dollar companies, and they're not people you've probably ever heard of before. And I specialize in training these guys because they're not like fitness people. They're not the guys looking to spend hours in the gym. They have their family. They have their business. Those are their priorities. But they know that to win at life, to be there for your family, to be on top with your business, you got to be in shape. You've got to optimize your physiology. And what I say is I believe that health and fitness forms a foundation for success in every area of our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly does, man. And I know you on the podcast, Legendary Life, you guys cover a lot of those, different mixes of essential things that you really need. It's not just fitness. It's not just health. It's like a good broad range of a lot of different things.
Yeah, well, the reason why I went down that rabbit hole is because got into the self-help and the other things, the dating advice, the social skills, is because I got in really great shape in my 20s, but I didn't have a great business, even though I was knowledgeable in getting people results and had rave reviews about people rave reviews from people who've trained with me. And also with the dating thing, I had a lot of where I worked at in the Eden Rock Spa, I had women picking me up there, man. So I'd never really had to work at it. And it wasn't until I started going outside of the gym where I stopped working there because I was only making $30 an hour. That was the top rate for any personal trainer in Miami Beach. I worked at the best place you could work at. If everywhere else, including some of the higher end hotels like the Delano, they were paying their trainers $25 an hour. Mm-hmm. Now I'm sure it's different, and there's Equinox, and this is before all that came. So I wasn't enjoying my life. I wasn't having success in all the areas of my life. And I've seen a lot the same parallels with my clients who are very financially successful, but they put their health to the side. And what I try to say is, like, you need to optimize your life to survive and thrive in this modern era. We're all sleep deprived. We're all stressed out. We're all striving for something greater. We're all overworked. We keep running out of gas, but at the same time, we're excited about all the opportunities that are available to us. So my whole goal is to optimize your physiology and optimize your mindset so you can get the most out of life and live it on your own terms.
Awesome, man. I like that. What would you say your, like, fitness philosophy is? Like, we kind of talked about this for a few minutes before we went on, but there's a lot of different schools of thought about what works best for, like, building muscle or burning fat with weights and stuff like that. What's your philosophy, your training kind of style?
Oh, yeah, man. I'll tell you something. In a short phrase, whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, here's the thing. People get hooked on tools. Oh, hey, man, are barbells better than kettlebells? Or is body weight better than, is a lat pull down better than a pull up? People get lost with that. Then there's people who get lost with, the methodologies, right? Mm-hmm. Is HIT better than high volume training? Is powerlifting better than bodybuilding? And what I do after 17 years and really studying this and getting a degree in biology and studying principles is that's everything is based on principles. And it's really hard to share that because people don't usually get it unless they have some background in physiology and exercise and biology. But I base everything on, I'll try to put it into as simple words as possible. Number one, there's a principle called the principle of general adaptation syndrome. That simply means that if you stress yourself to get stronger, you must recover from that stress. And you must stress yourself the right amount. So if you're working out too hard in the gym, you're gonna plateau because you're stressing yourself too hard. You're not able to recover. Conversely, if you're not pushing yourself hard enough, then you're not going to get results either. It's really about finding that sweet spot. And how do you find that sweet spot? Well, it's going to be different for everyone based on their genetics, based on their age. A guy who's 22 is going to be a lot different than 42 or 52. So it's about finding that sweet spot. And another principle is the principle of progressive overload. So I'll put it to you like this. If you are not getting stronger in the gym by lifting more weight, doing more sets, doing more reps, or doing a harder version of an exercise, then your workout sucks and you're getting bad results. And I don't care what methodology you use. I don't care what tools you use. If you're not doing those two things, if you're not recovering and if you're not getting stronger weekly, let's say, that's what I shoot for myself and for my clients weekly, then your workout sucks. Either your lifestyle sucks and you're not able to recover from the good workout that you do have, or your workout sucks for you. It's just not appropriate for you.
Yeah. It's all about, getting that adaptation response going for your body and, progressively making it going each and every week. Obviously the methodologies of getting that response can vary from to trainer and person to person, right?
Yeah. here's what I do. I do high frequency. I start off with high volume. So I mostly for beginners, if you're a beginner, this is especially relevant to you. And what I mean by beginners is people who don't do this. If you don't know what the word periodization is, you are a beginner. Okay. So I don't care how long you've been in the gym or what results you've been able to get. So what I do now, by the way, is I do most predominantly body weight exercises that are inspired by gymnastics. I've learned a lot from Christopher Summer from Gymnastic Bodies. And what I do is I do what's called linear periodization. And I'll give you a really, really straightforward way of applying it. So the goal is that you work on something for a month, then you switch to something different. And what I like to do is I start out with strength endurance. So here's what you can do if you're listening right now. Take all the exercises that you're currently doing, start doing 15 to 20 reps with all those exercises for 1 month. Second month, you're going to hit, let's say, 10 to 12 reps for all the same exercises. That's what you're going to work on for the second month. Third month, you're going to work on, say, 4 to 6 reps for each exercise. And the way to do that, you don't use the same exercise or the same amount of weight to go from 15 to 20 to 10 to 12 to 4 to 6. You have to add weight or do a harder version of that exercise. And if you followed that simple template that I just gave you right now, it used all the same exercises that you're already familiar with, provided that you're doing them correctly and using good form, you're going to probably notice a bigger difference and better results than you have in your whole exercise life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just pretty simple, but a lot of people kind of don't do that, right? They do something that they read online, or they think it's more dependent on what exercises they do as opposed to just kind of keeping it simple.
Yeah. And it has less, I mean, the exercises are important because they're the things that determine what muscles get used, but mm-hmm. that's all they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how many muscles get used. So if you're doing a deadlift, you're working on your glutes, your hamstrings, your low back, your quads to an extent. And the upper back muscles that have to hold on to the weight all the way down to your grip. And so that's going to be different than doing like a back extension where you're really isolating your hamstrings and your glutes and your low back and taking out the upper body and the quads completely. But you can use either one. And I personally like deadlifts more, but not everyone can do them. Mm-hmm. So don't get hung up on the exercises, what I'm getting at. Just choose the exercises that, that work the muscles that you want. And if your goal is to build strength or to build functional performance for, say, a sport, then focus on movements, big movements like deadlift, squats, pushing, pulling exercises, some single leg work and some core work, and you're going to be good.
Yeah, totally, man. How important is it to train legs? I know a lot of like bodybuilders, a lot of guys that go to the gym kind of skip out on legs, but how important is that?
Yeah, and it's vitally important, especially if you want any of that muscle that you build to carry over into anything that you do, whether it's walking up the stairs, having sex, carrying groceries, actually playing a sport instead of just flexing your muscles in the gym. And you know that you can build muscle without it, but what ends up happening without hard leg training, but what ends up happening is you get a physique that's not really gonna serve you in any type of environment where like you're not gonna be able to do a tough mutter. You're not gonna be able to go into a boxing class and do well. Okay. In spite mm-hmm. of what people think, the boxing comes from your legs. So you gotta be performance oriented a little bit. And that's one of the issues that I have with machine training in general. People just sort of focus on the muscle they want to get bigger. And if you don't have a very balanced approach, because you're a little off balanced, you'll end up with a huge upper body and little legs. But I'll tell you, I don't do a ton of what you would call standard leg exercises. You don't have to do that stuff. So I don't do lunges. I don't do heavy squats. My knees don't love them. I've actually taken a break from even doing deadlifts because I work out completely at home. So I'm doing these body weight exercises, but you gotta work your legs, and please use compound exercises. Don't be all show and no go, which is the term we use for guys who are really built up, but they look badass, but they aren't. They're just sort of bloated like models. Mm-hmm. You know, and in case you don't know my story or my athletic background, I've been in Brazilian jiu-jitsu for a long time. I've got a brown belt underneath a world champion. I've trained under a lot of great guys. The last guy I was training under was Cyborg Abreu, who is the number one guy in the world right now, who just won the Abu Dhabi in last year. Or was it earlier this year? Anyway, but he's the top guy around. And, you know, you can't, we would get guys coming in all the time who wanted to train jiu-jitsu. They thought they were tough. They really banged the weights hard in the gym, but they come in and try to put in a play and it didn't work out for them. And sometimes that's crushing to the ego. And I don't want you to feel that way. I want you to feel like, hey, you are, you know, all that muscle you built up actually does something for you besides allowing you to take Instagram selfies.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right. Get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
Yeah, dude, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is like probably the funnest, I don't know, fucking activity you can do. It's so awesome, man. I love it. I've been doing it, you know, on and off for years. And also I did wrestling in high school too as well for a couple of years. That's a blast. But yeah, it's a totally different sort of training that you need for that. It, you know, it's not bodybuilder training at all. It's actually like the opposite of that. Like if you are a bodybuilder, you are a big, strong guy, you're not really going to do well because I feel like a lot of the time you gas out when you try to do like jiu-jitsu or wrestling or some kind of like, you know, movement exercise activity where you have to use those muscles.
Yeah. And so, you know, man, because you've been there, wrestling training is even worse than Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it's more finesse and rest. And I don't want to say it's more technique than wrestling, but American wrestling is very aggressive. I mean, I've trained wrestling, not like you in school, but we had wrestling classes in every jiu-jitsu class I've ever been in, every jiu-jitsu school rather. And so it's aggressive and man, it gets the heart pumping. Yeah, absolutely. So you gotta, man. And that's what I think fitness is going into right now. I mean, there's always going to be bodybuilders. And hey, if you're a bodybuilder or you're passionate about that, that's cool, whatever you're into. But what I'm trying to, who I'm kind of talking to, if you feel like I'm trying to pick on, if I'm picking on you a little bit and calling you out a little bit, mm-hmm. is the guy who maybe isn't a bodybuilder, who doesn't want to do a physique show, who doesn't want to go down that route, but he's in the gym kind of working out the same way. If you found your spot for yourself, awesome. If not, try to think about things that would help you in the real world. And even though functional fitness, that term has been beat to death and misinterpreted, but you know, think about things that'll help you function better, help you perform better, whether it's picking up your kids and running away from danger or, you know, defending yourself in a fight. Or like I was just on a boat, a fishing boat, and got really ill, by the way. It was terrible. 4 hours of this crazy up and down, just totally got sick. But
seasick, dude, that's the worst. I hate that.
It's terrible, man, and I get it so easily. I shouldn't have gone, but probably won't be going on any fishing trips for the rest of my life. But during that trip, we had to climb up this ladder, and man, the seas were rough.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat was rocking around too. And if I didn't know how to use my body, in fact, at first I didn't. I was trying to hold on with my upper body, and I got tossed around a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, I need to tighten up my legs. Mm-hmm. Right. And then it got better. And then we had to climb up and down this ladder with the boat slapping on the ocean, going up and down on these waves. And not only were you dizzy from it and seasick, but you had to hang on. If you got thrown off, you get hurt badly or get thrown overboard.
Yeah.
So think about those situations because they will happen, and you want to be ready. You want to have whatever you do transfer over into whatever you need to do.
Yeah, it's like that functional fitness practical aspect to it, where you can actually use like what you're doing in real life, like in your example of being on the boat. Yeah, as far as the Brazilian jiu-jitsu thing in wrestling, I totally agree though. Like Brazilian jiu-jitsu especially has way more, I'd say, technique, and wrestling's more of the conditioning, I would say. Do you have any kind of tips for getting into that kind of shape though for like wrestling? I know you did it a little bit yourself. Is there anything like, is there more of like not high intensity training, like HIIT bodybuilding training, but is it like interval kind of training?
Yeah.
Does that help?
That's a whole nother, man, that's a whole nother approach. All of a sudden we're going from prioritizing building muscle and prioritizing the way you look and prioritizing building strength, mm-hmm, into, okay, how do I perform better for this specific sport? And with wrestling, I'll tell you, if you're any type of mixed sport athlete, any type of like, and what I mean by mixed is mixed energy system, where it's not like long distance running, but it's like a mixture, like in boxing or, yeah, wrestling or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, MMA, then you're going to need to work on all different aspects of your conditioning. And the best book for that is actually readable, because I can give you one that's going to be really difficult to read, but just to throw it out there, it's called Block Periodization. I forget the guy who wrote it. I'm trying to look behind me.
Block Periodization.
Yeah, and that's by Vladimir Isurin, and that is an excellent resource. However, the book that I want you to get to before you get into the block periodization is Get Ultimate MMA Conditioning by Joel Jameson. It's $40, and someone complained about it when I showed it to him. But it's like, do you want good information or not? You know, because yeah, most of the information is that's out there is terrible regarding training, and even the training that you get in most camps, it's really bad. In fact, steroid use is rampant in MMA gyms because the training is so hard. The guys need to take the juice just to not destroy their bodies, just to be able to recover from the three sessions a day. I mean, and there's definitely a smarter way of doing things, and Joel Jameson's leading the way. And I couldn't say that I'm an expert at it, especially right now. I've been out of the game for a while. But I will say this. You need to have an awesome aerobic system. And you don't necessarily need to run or bike or whatever, but you need to do some type of aerobic exercise. That is what causes people to gas out the most. And most people who train in that type of sport tend to do what's called power endurance training. They put on the rubber band, they do, you know, resisted shots, real explosive, over and over and over again. And okay, some burpees and some sprawls and some jump squats and some jump lunges. And, you know, mm-hmm, they just go crazy with it. That is called power endurance training. And there's a time and place for that, but it's mostly overdone. What, again, and I'm speaking in generalizations here, because there could be an athlete who really needs to work on that aspect of their training because they have the awesome aerobic conditioning and they have good levels of strength. but they can't, they don't have the power, the endurance to just explode over and over and over again. So I'm speaking in generalizations, but in general, most people do that type of training to the exclusion of building their aerobic system and their strength. Those are the two things you really want to focus on if you're interested in performing well, because Brazilian jiu-jitsu training, wrestling training, MMA training, by its nature, is already power endurance training. And to do more explosive shit on top of what you're already doing in your classes, it's overkill for most people. And there's a great way to track your recovery from exercise. It's called heart rate variability. And if you are in any type of intense sport, whether it's one of the ones I mentioned or something else, I highly recommend you check out Joel Jameson's BioForce HRV. He has one. That's the one I used. You can also get the Omega Wave for individual use. But track your training. Track your response to the amount of stress that you're putting yourself under. And and that's the way to dial it in, because when you're talking about performance for a sport like that, you really have to measure what's going on, and you have to be careful with the amount of stress that you're putting on your body and making sure that you're able to recover from it, and not being one of the guys who are like, oh man, I train 80 times a week. What steroids or supplements can I take to train 100 times a week? You know, it sounds silly, but that's the line of most people's thinking. I had a guy from the MMA school I used to teach jiu-jitsu at. He was like, man, my back is killing me. And he was asking for an exercise that he could do to help his back. Then he told me what he was doing. I was like, there's nothing I can give you. You're overtraining, my friend. You need to back off. You need to train more intelligently. There's not going to be any exercise that you can add on to all the shit you're already doing that's going to solve your problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just overtraining to the max at that point, and just spinning your wheels, because you're not going to get any better. Some really interesting points, man, you brought up as far as the heart rate variability, and also I'm definitely going to check out those books, Ultimate MMA Conditioning and Block Periodization. Those are really, sounds really good, man. I'm going to check that out for sure. But as far as the heart rate variability, is that just kind of something like a monitor you put on and then you keep track of your heart rate while you're exercising?
That's a good question. Okay, so heart rate is one thing. Heart rate variability is actually the space in between your beats, because most people's misconception is that your heart rate is like a metronome. It beats the same all the time, and then when you do more activity, it beats faster, but it's still beating at the same rate. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. I'm not completely read up on this, because I've moved away from that style of training into something else. But when you inhale, your heart speeds up. When you exhale, your heart slows down. That's due to the connection between your breathing and also your autonomic nervous system. So there should be a big a difference in the speed. There should be a difference in the space in between your beats, how long each beat takes. And that's what's called heart rate variability. And low heart rate variability is actually when when the beat of your heart is pretty consistent. And that's not a good thing. You want that variability. And so I'm no expert on it, especially not right now. I got into it for a long time, and when I was training jiu-jitsu hard. But Google it, learn more, especially anything by Joel Jameson will set you on the right path if you're interested in that, because he uses it a lot. He trains MMA athletes. You should get him on your show. Mm-hmm. I'll be having him on my show in a while too. He's got some great concepts that help me out understanding what training is and how to recover better, and why so many people get terrible results with their workout programs.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I definitely would love to have that guy on my show too. I might have to reach out to him. Yeah, this is awesome, man. Oh, totally. good stuff.
Learning a lot, right?
Yeah. Awesome. What's that?
Yeah, go for it.
No, I love just learning. I mean, I've been in fitness myself for years, but I love having like experts like you on. I just can pick your brain in different things, and it's so cool, man. I love it.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I interviewed a guy who was one of my heroes the other day, and it's a pleasure to learn and on these podcasts. And I hope that I'm helping some people straighten out their line of thinking, because I could just get on here and tell you, here's the way. It's called the Ted Rice Method. And you do it and buy my book for, $39.99. But I'm trying to help people get clear on things and trying to spread the truth. Okay, or at least a more objective perspective on exercise, instead of preaching the gospel of whatever product or service I may be selling.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. I appreciate it, though. What does your training look like right now? How many days are you working out?
That's a great question, and I'm doing something very different than everything that we've talked about.
Yep.
And I alluded to it earlier. So I'm training about 6 days a week, and I've got a lot of injuries, some from jiu-jitsu, some from just being a crazy kid and skateboarding and, you know, doing parkour. Matt, you've seen all those parkour videos.
That's cool.
Imagine that, but without the skill. And that was me. Okay. That with the skateboard and some of the crazy antics I did, and more, most recently I got into a car accident that herniated 3 discs in my cervical spine.
Oh, that sucks.
So I had to reevaluate things. So heavy deadlifting was out of the question, and I had to go through physical therapy. So I needed a way. And also, Justin, I was sick of going to the gym, man. I was training at this building, the Continuum, this beautiful multi-million-dollar condominium development here in Miami Beach. And I was working out there. And then one of the trainers pissed off like one of the owner's kids, and then no more trainers could work out there. So I couldn't work out there. I had all these injuries, and I found gymnastic inspired fitness routines. And I had tried gymnastics before, and I gave myself really bad tendonitis in my triceps tendon, because I just sort of thought I was strong and there was no progressions, and I just jumped into it and hurt myself. But I revisited the idea of body weight training, and not just hardcore gymnastics exercises, like I already mentioned. I'm not particularly great at this stuff at the moment. And learning, okay, well, handstands, L-sits, front levers, back levers, human flags, otherwise known as the side lever. How can I start to develop my body with hard body weight exercises? How do I do it in a way that won't injure me? Or even make my joints better and make me feel better. And that's what I've been doing. So I work out 6 days a week now. 4 of those days are spent doing handstand training. And when I say handstand training, I'm looking at doing a full free handstand, as well as doing a handstand press. But I'm not quite there yet. So I'm doing all these baby exercises to build up. And I say they're baby, but if you look at my body, I'm looking pretty in shape. So I put up pictures on Facebook, and I was just saying, like, you don't have to kill yourself to get great results from exercise. You just need to have a good program, and to have adequate nutrition, proper recovery, and good sleep hygiene. And so that's what I've been working on. So 2 of my days are pretty challenging, and they're long workouts. But the other ones are 30-minute workouts, 30 to 40-minute workouts. And it would be hard to explain what they look like, but I'll tell you this. It's improving my endurance, improving my mobility, which is the ability of your body to move through space let's put it like this. Flexibility is you relaxing and trying to touch your toes. Mobility is you hanging from a bar and using your muscles to bring your straight legs up to touch the bar under control. That's what mobility is. And so I've been working on both, and my body feels great. I look better than I have in the past year. And it's, and I'm not killing myself with my workouts, even though they're quite frequent. In fact, I would, this is like what I'm preaching right now. High frequency workouts. Don't take exercises to failure. Finish strong. Focus on instead getting stronger every week. And that's what I've been able to do. I've have all, almost all my clients on this style workout right now. And I've been getting awesome results. And people are training more, but they're getting faster results than ever before. And this is like what I'm sold on. This is like, I'm going to probably stop writing programs and telling and talking to people about how to deadlift and squat and all the other things that I've been doing and bench press. Nothing wrong with those. But I feel like this is the most intelligent way to start training if you haven't been doing it yet. And what happens so often with other styles of training is you'll get a guy who's big and jacked. Let's say he's been doing everything right. Let's say he's been doing the deadlifts, the squats, he can bench press a lot, he can military press, you know, he's a strong badass. The problem is those guys usually have beat up their joints in the process and lost mobility. So it makes them less athletic and more inclined to get injured. And if you're looking at, it's cool to be in badass shape in your 20s, but what ends up happening to a lot of guys is an injury stops them from progressing. So they hit a point in their 30s or 40s maybe, and they're like, wow, I can't do 500-pound deadlifts anymore. So I'm just going to talk about what I used to do. And I don't want to be that guy. And that's what this stuff has allowed me to do. And I think everybody should start developing a good foundation of body weight control, body weight strength. Get really good at body weight exercises. And then when you start to do deadlifts again or squats again or whatever it is, you're going to be a complete beast. The downside of all that is it takes more time.
Mm-hmm. Are you ever going back to like that old style of training, or you think you're kind of just going to stick with this from this point forward?
I'm sticking with this for a while. And when I mean a while, I'm talking about years. My neck is probably at least another year. My neck is still messed up. You know, I have like my arm will go numb, or I've got this intense itching feeling on my arm if my neck's in a certain position because the nerve root is getting irritated. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time on this. I'm also going to physical therapy. And will I get back there? We'll see. But here's the thing. I don't need to. Do I need a deadlift to impress you or the listeners? I don't compete to do it. You have to ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? If you're going to enter a deadlift competition, well, guess what? You need a deadlift. If you want to slam someone on their head and be a badass in MMA or wrestling or jiu-jitsu, well, you probably need a deadlift, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at looking good with without your clothes on, attracting women, being your best, being healthy, being having optimal health so that you can show up in other areas of your life, in your relationships, in your work, and with your friends, being like on the game and having enough energy and vitality to go enjoy the things you want, then you don't need a deadlift, right?
Yeah, totally, man. Ted, what are your thoughts on CrossFit? It's obviously exploded over the last few years and it's really popular and so many people do it. What do you think about it?
Yeah, CrossFit, that's always a good one. And when it first came out on the scene, it was like, oh, what is this stuff? People are getting awesome results. And then I took a while to study it. And I'll tell you, I've mixed opinions about it. I'll tell you the good things first, because so many people hate on CrossFit. CrossFit, I would not be doing the gymnastics exercises without CrossFit, because they reintroduced the guy, Greg Glassman, who created CrossFit, was a former gymnast and he incorporated gymnastics training. Although I don't think the gymnastics training is that good in most CrossFits in general. But he popularized some other people like Christopher Summer, who is awesome. And it also got a lot of people who were a lot of women who were cardio bunnies to go lift weights, mm-hmm. because of the community draw. And so a lot of bodies have been changed, and they got a killer business. It's a cult practically, you know.
Yeah.
And they're doing great. And I think I think overall they've been a positive, they've had a positive impact on fitness. But there's a lot of wrong with it too. And even guys like Rob Wolf, who initially was very into CrossFit, has moved away from it. Because what is CrossFit? CrossFit, by the way, changes depending on where you're going to. And by the way, I know some guys who train under the name CrossFit. That's what they say they do, but they're awesome coaches and they don't follow the headquarters workouts. They do their own thing. So CrossFit is very random in its programming. And if you go onto the CrossFit website, it has a different workout, the WOD, right? Workout of the day that you do in your box. WOD in your box. See you at the box to do a hard WOD. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, I would say that for some people, it's probably a great workout. For let's say, I'm just making up these numbers, right? But probably 1/3 of people are getting a great workout and they can recover from it and they don't get injured. And it's like right for them, right? They have a high ability to handle high workloads and recover from it. And then you have people who are getting a good workout, but they get injured, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to probably make up most people. And then you have people who just shouldn't even be in there at all. Okay. They don't have the strength base. They don't have the proper technique, and they just shouldn't be in there at all. They need to spend a lot of time getting their bodies improving mobility and building some basic strength and endurance before they go into group exercise, because that's what it is, group exercise. So there's not going to be a ton of people paying attention to what you do. So, and that goes with any group exercise, not CrossFit. And I think they've taken a lot of shit because they're popular. And there's a lot of boot camps out there that are worse, just as bad, if not worse, than CrossFit, that people don't really pay attention to because they're not popular. They're not doing that well. But if you're thinking about doing it, then you need great mobility to do overhead squats and Olympic lifting. You need a base of aerobic endurance. You need great levels of strength. And then go do CrossFit, because it similar to what I talked about in the MMA training, most of it is power endurance training. The kipping pull-ups, power endurance training. The wall balls, power endurance training, you know, fit 100 push-ups, power endurance training as fast as you can, right? Because everything's time, power endurance training. So for most people, that's going to lead to overtraining and injury. I'll add one last thing. I've gotten clients from CrossFit who've gotten injured because the guy tried to do 200 pull-ups and it blew out his rotator cuff, had to have it surgically reattached, and became a client of mine and didn't have problems again. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's the smartest way to train. I think there are way better ways of training. But if that's what you're into, I'm not one to talk you out of it, because I got a ton of injuries from doing MMA style training and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But just understand it's more of a sport, and that's what they call it, the sport of fitness. So if you're into that and you're willing to take the risk, fine. But if you're looking at it as long-term fitness, the way to keep you at the top of your game into your 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on, ain't happening.
Mm-hmm. Ted, it's been a really good interview, man. I just got a few more questions for you, and then we got to sort of wrap things up.
Let's do it.
Awesome, man. yeah, so the popular kind of everyone's favorite popular fitness question is, you know, what's your favorite supplements, or what supplements do you recommend? Is there anything that you recommend people take?
Oh, yeah. You know, really quick, if you're looking for improving your strength and performance, take creatine monohydrate, none of the fancy stuff, the creatine, I forget all the other names. Take creatine monohydrate, make sure it's CreaPure, which is 100% pure German creatine. The next one would be beta-alanine. That's what I personally use. I don't take creatine because it makes me wake up to piss at night when I take it. And I don't like that feeling, even though I get really great results from doing it. But if you don't have that issue and if you don't have any kidney issues, then take creatine monohydrate. Beta-alanine is another one. If you really, I'll just leave it at that. There are some other ones like citrulline malate, which is supposed to help with endurance training. And if you're into MMA or wrestling or doing CrossFit, then citrulline malate is something you want to look into as well. But creatine and beta-alanine will help you get more out of your strength training. Here's a couple things that I'll recommend for recovery because nobody likes to focus on that. But ancient minerals, magnesium, they make bath flakes, a lotion, and a spray, and what they call an oil spray, and it's just highly saturated water. It's highly saturated with magnesium. That is what you want to look into for speeding up your recovery. Ancient minerals, magnesium. The baths are awesome, but you have to take a bath, and they take a long time, but it's a great place to read. The lotion is pretty easy to apply, and you can put it on and leave it on, but it's $20 a bottle. And then the spray is highly concentrated. It's your best bang for your buck and the least troublesome to use, except for the fact that it can kind of irritate your skin. So you spray it on, leave it on for 20 minutes, then wash it off. But that will help you. Also, make sure you're getting enough vitamin D through sun exposure. Don't be one of those, you know, people that are scared shitless of the sun because dermatologists just don't get sunburn and be smart about it. If not, take a good quality vitamin D. I recommend Thorne, Thorne, as a brand, the vitamin D, great vitamin D. And and make sure you get sleep because there's no supplement you can take, exercise you can do, or diet you can follow that will make up for poor sleep.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, man. I like it. I like the recommendations. And especially the recovery ones too, because that's a lot of the time, like you said, most people don't focus on that. I know magnesium is a great muscle relaxer. And of course, vitamin D is probably the most important vitamin / hormone that you can put into your body.
Yeah, so important.
Ted, what do you think is the number one thing that separates you from all the other personal trainers and fitness experts out there? Like, what has made you successful and really kind of push you apart from the rest of the big fitness sea of experts out there?
The business one is easy because I'm terrible at business, but I studied hard because I suck at business, right? Mm-hmm. As easy as the training stuff comes to me and I understand it and I'm able to figure things out, even if I don't understand something, business is one of the hardest things that I've ever embarked on because I was like rebellious against it, you know? Fuck the man, right? Then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I need to pay money to go to more fitness courses that I want to go to and learn from more experts. Oh, I need to figure this business thing out. Also, vacation would be nice too. So it really caring about people, being genuine, being willing to help people, and striving for excellence in what I do, and listening to my clients and really trying to solve their problems instead of getting lost in all the bullshit that you can get lost in. You know, listen to your clients, help them. And I've done interviews with my clients and they could tell you better than I could because sometimes I don't know what I'm doing right in that respect. But as far as the fitness information, what I have that sets me apart the most is I'm not a cult member. Okay. I'm more interested in what works. I'm able to be more analytical than other people, at least I feel. Because so many people get sold on something. Oh, vegetarianism is the way. Oh, HIT training is the way. Oh, HIIT training is the way. Oh, powerlifting is the way. Hey, they're all tools. they all give different results, and they may or may not work for you. They may give you the results that you want, or they may not. So I'm able to analyze things, figure out the common denominators, finding the patterns, finding the common the commonalities between methods, and really understanding the principles of exercise, the exercise in the energy systems of the human body. Biomechanics is huge. If you can get Tom Purvis on your show, I don't think he'll do it, because I've been asking him and I've paid him thousands and thousands of dollars to go to his courses. He hasn't said yes yet, but I'd love to hear an interview with him. He's an expert on biomechanics, and just keep an open mind and look for the principle, and looking for the principles behind everything instead of getting sold onto one particular method or guru.
Mm-hmm. I like that, man. Yeah. I mean, even throughout this podcast episode, you've had no qualms about just shouting out other people who you've learned from yourself, or, you know, Tom Purvis, the guy you just mentioned, person you've spent thousands of dollars going to his training from. Like, you have no issues with, you know, reaching out and telling people that, you know, there's other experts out there. There's other people who know more than me. I think at the end of the day, we're all learners, and it's not good to be that guy who thinks they know everything.
Oh, if you are, then your competition has already beat you.
Yeah.
You're already done. Please think that way, or actually don't, because you guys are cool. You're listening to a podcast instead of, I don't know, listening to the news or whatever. So you're cool. But for anybody who you run into who says that, you're already ahead of them, because they've lost the mindset game. And if you lose that, you have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Totally, man. We're always learning. We're always trying to find different things, different solutions to different problems, because there's always more than one right way to do something.
And I think
you're totally with that too, man. Is there any last send-off or takeaway message you'd like to leave our Elite Man audience, Ted, and also a place that our listeners can check out more about you?
Yeah, and what I'd say is, look at the long game. Keep learning. If you've had some failures, some setbacks, especially with health and fitness, keep going, push forward, keep learning, keep trying new things. And if something doesn't work out, it's fine. I've done so many dumb they weren't dumb. Looking back, they're dumb, and I wouldn't do it again. But I tried some crazy things, and you know, I learned a lot from the experiences. I learned what works and what hasn't. And why I'm ahead of other people in fitness is simply because this is my business, and I spent more time, money into it. So you're going to get back what you put into this. And if you'd like me to help you on your journey and to clarify things, I do online coaching, and you can find me at legendarylifepodcast.com. And check out some of the things that I've done there, some of the people I've interviewed. And if you want someone to help you get results, and you're tired of hitting plateaus or not knowing how to work around injuries, you know, hit me up and I will be able to help you out.
Awesome, Ted. Again, guys, it's legendarylifepodcast.com. And yeah, check out Ted Rice when you get a chance, guys. Filled with a ton of awesome fitness and health knowledge and overall well-being. Ted, thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. And I know our guys are going to love this one. So take care.
Awesome, Justin. It was a pleasure, man.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.